It is the last week of 2011. In fact, almost the last day of 2011. Yep. So one of the things we've been doing all this week is checking back in with some of the most compelling people and stories that we've had on over this year. And certainly one of the biggest stories in the world are the protests and uprisings all across the Arab world.
What is happening in Tunis is a lesson for all oppressive regimes and all corrupt regimes in the Arab world.
Yemen is witnessing a new era. The government, through the selfishness, is attacking protesters.
What happened in Tunisia and in Egypt will have effect on what's going on in Libya.
Began in Tunisia with a fruit vendor, spread to Egypt, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Bahrain. You could say it has spread to the United States and other areas in the Western world as well. Back in January, crowds gathered day after day in Cairo's Tahrir Square. Nancy Youssef has been part of our conversation ever since then, an Egyptian-American professor of English literature at the City University of New York's Baruch College, came on for the first time on The Takeaway and gave the story a face and a heart.
I think, like everybody else, I'm worried about chaos. I'm worried about what happens if the protests continue with a deadlock, if there's no movement towards negotiation or discussion.
Obviously, we know so far what the story is for Egypt. Nancy has joined us periodically throughout the year, and she's in the studio again with us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us yet again, Raja Athabani, a Yemeni-American student in human rights and international development, first on in January as well, and last joined us back in March before a visit back to Yemen.
I am excited, but I am also very, very nervous, considering all the news that has been coming out this week and last week and the casualties and the numbers injured. President Saleh is obviously not taking this easy at all.
And we are joined yet again by Raja again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's begin with you, Raja, because obviously you spoke about President Saleh back in March, and he's making the headlines now since the United States is considering allowing him to come here for medical treatment. What's your response to that? Do you think that's a bad decision for the United States to make?
I think it's very much a predictable decision, considering Yemeni U.S. relations for the past, I guess, few decades, especially because the U.S. has always had completely taken counterterrorism in Yemen very seriously. It is something that I'm not surprised, but again, the community here, the Yemeni community here, is really really upset, especially since he's coming here to get medical treatment.
Right. In the United States, you mean?
Yeah. So,
they have not issued a visa yet, I should say that, which means the decision is not finalized.
Yeah. So, you know, the community here is already mobilizing to demonstrate against this.
But let me ask you, you recently visited Yemen. What is the situation like there? I mean, Yemen has been one of the most chaotic scenes of all the chaos in the Arab Spring. How do you feel the chances are for the future of Yemen?
Well, it's been chaotic in most part because of the violent crackdown against nonviolent protesters. That's the only chaotic thing that it's been, and it's but it's a true testament just to tell you that Yemen is the second most heavily armed country in the world, and they've remained nonviolent and peaceful for the past year. And they've been camped out in tents in their makeshift city, in the center of the city, marching every day and withholding with barrage of bullets, mortars, and just terror since February. And, this does give me hope for the future that, you know, and they remain persistent until today. There was just the march last week from Taiz into the capital, and that's about 170 miles, a march that remained peaceful. It does give me, I'm still very hopeful.
Obviously, the events recently in Syria have kind of drawn all the headlines, not only away from Yemen, but away from Egypt as well. Although we have had free elections in Egypt for the first time in literally decades, Nancy. And I wonder what your thoughts are now. We've spoken to you about some of the violence that preceded the elections. Are you still feeling optimistic?
In a long-term way, yes. I think what Raja just said about chaos being generated f- from the clash between peaceful protesters and police security crackdown also applies in Egypt. There has been, you know, sort of in these increasingly violent cycles of protest and crackdown there. And it's frankly, to me, puzzling, the picture, because there's different state security apparatus, central security forces, state security forces, army, and the pictures that we've seen coming out of Egypt over the past few months have been shocking. The beatings, the use of live ammunition, the treatment of women. And one has to wonder who's being protected. What are the, you know, what are the interests of the state security forces in cracking down in this way? I'm frankly puzzled as to their strategy. At the same time, I still feel optimistic that there's been a kind of seismic shift in public opinion there and public sentiment. So, a couple of weeks ago, the sort of the image that has now become kind of iconic of the woman that was stripped down to her bra and beaten in the street. I could not have imagined 8 months ago that we would see a picture like that coming out of Egypt.
Or that it would be covered at all.
Yes, but there's the difference. It's covered, and it it inspired a protest a few days later, the largest women's march in Egyptian history. So I think that I still feel that there's been such a radical change in the sense that government needs to be representative and responsive to the population. And that hasn't changed. I think, obviously, it's going to take a much longer period of time to
Years.
Play out. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Raja, do you feel the same about Yemen, about the development of democracy there? Although I am sure that democracy will look different in each country in which it develops. But do you feel that in Yemen there's been this sort of seismic shift in attitude that Nancy was talking about?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm just comparing my prior visits to Yemen pre-revolution and now post-revolution. There's been, you know, a dramatic shift in even ideology and, you know, a country that used to be so pessimistic about really living in a country that was corruption-free and where there's gender equality. People who never really believed in things like that or thought it was possible in Yemen are now demanding it. And
it's interesting, Raja, I hate to interrupt you, but it's interesting you say revolution, and so often in coverage of these events, people talk about the uprising in Yemen.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree, and you know, and honestly, I was on the ground, and it's a revolution because there's a dramatic shift in ideology, and you have a whole nation that, for me personally as a Yemeni, had never really had faith in that kind of dramatic shift in change in such a short period of time. I was able to see that for myself, being able to walk down the street without any harassment as a woman, having really women leading revolutions and leading marches and leading change in Yemen. It's you see that the change is so palpable you could almost taste it.
Well, let me ask Nancy the same question I asked just a few minutes ago. Is 2011, will it eventually just be the year of the Arab Spring? Will that be the biggest story of this year?
Of this year?
In the history books.
Time is running short now. Two more days. I think it's absolutely the biggest story of the year.
Yeah. Nancy Youssef, Egyptian-American, professor of English literature at Baruch College at the City University of New York. It's certainly a story that will continue on in 2012. Roger, do you agree? 2011, the year of the Arab Spring?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Roger Athalbani, Yemeni-American, BA student in human rights and international development. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.